From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody. Rob Cairns here. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas of Stunning Digital Marketing. In today's podcast, I sit down with my good friend Ryan Waterbury in our monthly segment, and we talk more email marketing. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the gold in this episode.
This episode of the SDM Show is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency to handle all your WordPress website security needs. Go on over to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and find out how we can help you secure your website so you no longer have an issue with backups, being hacked, or your website being compromised. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody. Rob Cairns here. Today, I'm here with my good friend, Ryan Waterbury, and we're going to talk about more email marketing. How are you today, Ryan?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing, Rob?
Not bad for a Tuesday after a long weekend at the time of this record, you know. Probably shouldn't say that in a podcast because we like the evergreen things, but, you know, that's the way it is. So we were talking beforehand, and we talked a little bit about sales funnels some time ago, and we thought we'd jump back into email marketing and kind of do a bit of a part two. So what are your thoughts on email marketing and marketing automation?
You brought up the perfect segue where the funnel that we talk about gets people, you know, with their lead magnet, you know, that ticket item that's the first email that they get from you that says, hey, you wanted this. Here's your download link. Oh, and by the way, we're going to follow up with a couple of emails, maybe every day, maybe every other day, or my personal preference is to space it out. But the drip campaigns, when we talk about very simple funnels, are important. And, you know, slowly sending out emails to someone that has opted into your list, is the most simple form of email marketing automation. And and in my opinion, those are sometimes the most effective email marketing campaigns.
Yeah, I've even seen some creative uses. For example, I had a client once who wanted his 15-week course set up, not in an LMS, but in a drip email campaign, if you could believe it or not. So, you know, I've seen creative uses all the time. And I think one of the things that sort of stops people is they don't segment or sort of specifically note what people are interested in an email and what they're not.
Absolutely. And when we start talking about automations, and this is one of the first things that causes me to unsubscribe, sending me too many emails and sending me emails with content that isn't relevant to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I, in my agency, do web development, web design, SEO work, and paid ad management for both social media platforms and Google search engine marketing. If I send you something about PPC advertising and you're an SEO client, are you going to stay subscribed on my list?
Maybe.
if the content is completely irrelevant to you, you're going to lose subscribers. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But proper list segmentation with interest. And here's where the other part of the automation comes in is e-commerce stores can make really good use of that segmentation. And you can start remarketing through email campaigns. If someone bought a product in a particular category, you may follow up a month later when you add a new product and give them an offer of maybe 10% off of this new product, but you're not going to show it to your entire list. Just that segment that purchased in that category. And why do we do that? Well, it's relevant. So we know that that person was already interested in a particular item within a particular category. So it's likely that they may be interested in an additional item within that category.
It's funny because I even go so far on my website at the bottom of every page, I have a jump here for free consult. Now, where I think a lot of people miss the boat is they send the consult to a page where they can just book time. And I'm actually in the process of getting away from that. What I'm doing is sending them to a email list and then emailing them back a link where they can book time. And frankly, the reason for that at the end of the day is then they're on your email list and you don't have to do anything. And you know exactly what they were interested in because they opted in on a certain page. So then you can tag that page appropriate, that record appropriately.
Oh, you know, exactly. And, you know, part of proper drip campaign management is when somebody takes an action, that I always include that link to that page within my campaign, you know, a couple of times after we've nurtured. And if they click the link to book a consultation, I'm not going to send them two more emails. They've already booked the link. So part of that automation says, hey, take them out of this list. They're done. They're done with this cycle. And I subscribe them to my newsletter list at that point. That's also part of the opt-in process and disclaimer that, hey, you're signing up to get communications from us in addition to getting your lead magnet. So that's another thing that I want to talk about at some point during our session here is how to properly opt people into your lists. Because a lot of clients don't necessarily understand how and why you should do it.
Yeah. Let's go there. I think that you need to opt people in your list. I still think double opt-in is a must, even though it's not a legal requirement. People assume that for consent, you need double opt-in in Canada. That's not true. In the US, it's certainly not true. And I think part of it is there's a couple ways to get people on a list. One, them to opt-in and double opt-in. Two, you are allowed in Canada and the U.S. to put somebody on a list if they bought something from you, but then if they opt out, you have to let them opt in. And three, and you and I both deal with political parties, certainly in Canada, a political party or somebody running for political office can throw you on that list actually with no consent, believe it or not. I don't think it's a good way to do it, but people do it.
They do. And, you know, that interesting that you brought that up with adding people to lists from political sources. Now, a lot of that data, you know, we can get from our government. And if you've registered to vote and you voted, that's publicly available information. And, you know, you can use that data to upload to a list. Now, that information changes. And you and I both know that the government's not very efficient. So the email addresses on those lists isn't always accurate. So if you're going to upload a list and you haven't asked someone to provide a proper email, you need to clean that list. And one of the main reasons that you need to do that is to lower your bounce rate. Now, sending to a lot of bad email addresses that actually don't exist anymore or that immediately mark your email as spam not only hurt your domain sending reputation, but everyone that sends from that server, any other accounts that are tied to that. And sending a reputation is really important because it's what keeps your mail out of the promotions box and at the top of their inbox.
Yep.
How often do you go to your promotions box and just mass delete everything?
Way too many is the answer
exactly.
to that question. I mean, I've actually got a tag. So the way I manage my inbox, and I think I don't know if I've shared it on this podcast, but certainly shared it with you. I have a convoluted set of Gmail rules. There's probably 120 rules that basically says, if this email comes in, tag it and put it here. So I clean my inbox up right away. I don't use the promotions inbox. I just use a convoluted set of rules. And I can tell you, I've got this big one called retail stores. And quite often I go into that and just do a mass delete and don't even read what's in there unless I'm looking for something. So,
Oh, exactly. Normal. Yeah. And I think that's normal behavior. And what some of our customers don't realize, and this has happened a couple of times. And recently I had to go back and look at a list that these clients opted in. We save the IP address and the time that they opt into the list because as a legal requirement, people can complain. And then your provider may come back and say, you need to provide proof of opt-in, the IP address that they signed up from, name, email, and time to verify that they're a legit person that opted in. If you're uploading a list and you haven't run through a service to verify the email addresses, you can get yourself in some pretty hot water pretty quick.
It's true. And the other thing to do too is, you know, we're talking about this, but I think it's worth mentioning, and I sort of mentioned it on this podcast in the last couple of weeks. Don't use Gmail or any other mail provider instead of getting proper mailing software. There was a political Republican who was running for office, and he was complaining that Gmail was interfering in the U.S. election because all his emails are going to spam. And it's worth mentioning again, and I feel like I'm beating the drum on this one, is that in Gmail, spam filters are often crowdsourced. So if enough people push that spam button up at the top, your emails are going to go to spam. So, and the other thing Gmail does is if you put too many people in the CC or the BCC, they're going to spam as well. So please, guys, if you're going to do a list, get some proper software in to do it for you.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a number of ways to do it, both, well, I'm going to say free and paid, but you and I both know that the even the freemium solutions out there are an absolute must. Now, what's now you send your newsletter out with ConvertKit right now. I'm in the process of migrating to Fluent CRM. But what are some of the other softwares that you've used and like in the past?
I've used MailChimp at times. I've used MailerLite at times. I've used ActiveCampaign at times. The big issue with ActiveCampaign is deliverability is really good, but the interface is antiquated and not been updated. I've even used Infusionsoft at times. I'm actually Infusionsoft certified, and that's a product I try to stay away from. I just find it so expensive for what you get. Personally, I really like the drag and drop interface and ConvertKit. What else have I used? I've used Sendinblue. I've used Campaign Monitor, which is out of Australia before. I've probably used like most of the big ones. And the key is I've even used Constant Contact, if you can believe that. Before they were bought. So I've used pretty well the who's who of mailing packages, personally, and MailPoint, which runs out of the WordPress dashboard.
Yeah. A lot of my customers are using MailPoint. We have an agency license for MailPoint. I've been using MailPoint for quite a while. And one of the things that I like and also dislike about MailPoint is the fact that they have a zero BS policy for spam, and they require your subscribers to be opted in. they have just, I think it's like 0.3% lower spam filter rate than Google and Microsoft Exchange, which I think it's great. Their deliverability is fantastic when they do that, because you're going to get in the inbox and stay out of the promotions box for everyday people. But that comes at an expense that those rules can get pretty strict, pretty quick. So it can, you know, also hurt you a little bit. But if you're managing your list properly, you're segmenting to keep your sending to proper interest groups, and you're also doing email validation, then you shouldn't have any problems with that. And people unsubscribing from your list is actually not a bad thing. You want the more that people open your emails and engage with your content in a higher percentage, the better off you are as far as the sender score. You become more trusted. So when someone hits unsubscribe, I'm going to tell everyone right now, that's not always a bad thing. That just means that the content wasn't for them, and that's just fine.
Yeah, I would also suggest to anybody, and I think I said this in part one, but it's worth mentioning again, if somebody hasn't opened any of your emails in a time that you decide appropriate, you should move them and tag them into a long-term nurture sequence and not your standard emails. And by a long-term nurture sequence, all that is a touch base every so many months to sort of say, are you alive kind of deal? And don't send them your regular emails, because you'll actually impact your deliverability scores if you keep sending them emails that they're not opening, believe it or not.
Right. And some people and some businesses are very cyclical, and they get busy, and they want the content, but they don't necessarily have time to interact with it. And so a good rule of thumb to pull somebody out of that active, engaged subscriber role is 6 months if you're sending on a weekly basis. Now, if you're only sending monthly or even quarterly, you can start looking at a 12 to 18 month cycle where you pull them back into that not engaged subscriber. And that it's absolutely important to have that nurturing and re-engagement cycle that, you know, marketing automation and all the email platforms that you mentioned are capable of it, but it takes time and knowledge to set up. And also you need to know what to say to your clients in that nurturing segment that, hey, we still have great content, and you ask them to, you know, open newsletters or ask them a question on, you know, what they want to see in the newsletters during that nurturing cycle. But it's important to re-engage with them.
Yeah, I actually, you say 6 months, it's funny because I actually go even shorter than that. For me, I'm kind of into the 2 to 3 month period. But you also got to find out what works for you. And that's the important thing. And not every business is a one fits all model, as far as I'm concerned. So that's the other thing to think about.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, that's a good point, that re-engagement with somebody, you know, within a month or two, or even sooner. It depends on your send cycle. So if you send daily and somebody's dropped off, give them a couple of weeks and then get them in that re-engagement campaign, or just a single email drop. That's different from your regular sending cycle. Yep. It all depends on how often you send. Yep. And that's another thing that, for me, I don't want to hear from you every day. Even if I care about your content and it's something that I do every day, my preferences are not to get emails from you every day. Nope. That's just me and my preferences. So that's the other thing. You need to find a cadence that your audience is comfortable with, that they enjoy, and that also that you can maintain. So writing a daily email, it's a tough thing. And it's not a cadence that every business owner can keep up with.
It's so true. I typically do myself, I'm usually like twice a week, if at all possible. And then some weeks I'll throw a third one in, like at the time of this record, WordPress 6.0 just came out. So I'll probably throw in a quickie tomorrow just to remind people it's out and here's the release notes. But I won't do much more than that. I mean, I think, honestly, if you're doing any more than that, I think you're pushing your luck, so to speak. And I don't think that's a good idea. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and it's something that you can either test or go with your gut feeling. I've done testing with my audience, and for a while I was doing monthly, and I saw okay open rates into the 40% range. As soon as I went to weekly, I saw it drop. That was too often. But bi-weekly, I see people open well above 50% on my list. And my list isn't very big, but my subscribers are engaged, and that's what you want. If you have a list of 50,000 people and less than 10% open your email, well, you're still talking to a big audience, but that's a whole chunk of your list that's not reading anything that you're saying.
So and, it's time to, and that you're paying for too, probably if you're using a third party provider. So, you know,
absolutely. So that's interesting that, you know, when we talk about these different services, they have different billing models, and some of them are, you know, per subscriber. And that could mean someone that's just in your list database. They could not even be engaged. They could be off your sending profile and you're still being billed, you know, for them as a subscriber. So good list maintenance is an absolute must if you want to get serious about email marketing.
Yep.
The other reason I was kind of chomping at the bit with email marketing, you know, after we talked about funnels, is email marketing has, you know, that magical 4,000% ROI if you do it correctly. You don't see that with any other of the marketing channels.
Yeah, that's true. We've been talking a little bit about mechanics. What kind of content do you think should go in your emails?
So that all kind of depends. And on my landing page to sign up, it's pretty no nonsense. I explain exactly what I'm going to write about. And I have a little bit of state of, you know, what my business is doing to improve. And then we pick some topics that land in our inbox and other realms around the web and do a roundup of, you know, relevant content for the small business owner and things that are happening in the digital world that they might not be aware of that affect them. And I specifically tell people when they opt in, this is what you're going to get. So it's important when you have an opt-in page or someone comes in that you're still providing them content that they've asked to read and learn about.
No, I would agree with that philosophy, Ryan, so heartedly. And do yourself a favor. I think the biggest mistake that mailing list people that use email lists make is they make their emails too salesy. And I know for me, I probably throw out a sales sequence or a sales offer in an email that's really salesy maybe once a month. I think it's more important to present yourself as an expert, build the relationship, and then talk about the salesy side.
Oh, absolutely. You know, recently it was something that I've been toying with, and I'm always, you know, one to have a little more granular control. We took email sending in-house, and we're managing our own SMTP servers in a couple of the different data centers for redundancy. Part of the reason was, you know, not just in the WordPress space, but email companies are being purchased and their rates are changing. So in one of our last emails from my agency, we talked about that process and why we did it. And we looked at it as not only a cost savings initiative for our clients, but also as a way to improve deliverability. And, you know, when we ran through all the sending tests, we weren't seeing a 10 out of 10 with any of the other services, Mailgun, Amazon, you name it. There was just something funky that, you know, we couldn't get a perfect score. As soon as we were managing our own servers and tweaking some things, when we go to Mailtester, we have a 10 out of 10. And so that was an opportunity to, you know, throw that light pitch out that, hey, we're doing some things for our own list and also for our clients. You know, that hard sales pitch is just not one that I ever do, but, providing content on why we do things and how it benefits our customers and the results that they can see, those are the pitches that I like to include in my newsletters.
No, I would agree with you and give them the benefits and things like that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other good tips on, running a newsletter that are worth mentioning?
Consistency. And this is something that I struggle with too. You know, I was kind of waiting for WordPress 6.0. My newsletter is biweekly and comes out on Monday. Mondays and Fridays, you know, I found I got the highest open rates on those 2 days. So, you know, I like to stick to that schedule. And when you start being more consistent and you have a good user base, they're actually waiting for your newsletter. I mean, they know it's going to come in and they're more likely to open it when it comes at that prescribed time. Yep. So again, just with any kind of content marketing, whether it's a blog or a newsletter, consistency is really one of the things that I see a lot of people fall down on. They may have great content, but it's, you know, at different times of the day, you know, it's not on a regular schedule. So that's one of the biggest improvements that I can see and that I would recommend that anybody that's running a newsletter to do. You have to start somewhere.
I agree. And with any type of content, I know I do typically Mondays and Thursdays, unless Monday's a long weekend, and I'll do Tuesdays and Thursdays. The other thing that's worth mentioning is the format. The format should be consistent as well. So typically the way I do newsletters, and as you know, is I usually write a quick blurb. Then I'll share some tips and tricks and interesting articles from the web. And before that, I'll even share my podcast. But it's always the same order every time. And then on Thursdays, I typically do what I call one or two hot topics, and then I'm done. But people know that the podcasts are going to be in the Monday newsletter. The Thursday is going to be more a hot topic. And I think that makes a difference too as well.
Oh, absolutely. Formatting's a big thing. And how you deliver that information. I'm not one for reading, you know, long emails every day. That's just, you know, how I like to consume content. Mm-hmm. So the newsletters that I like, hit those highlights, maybe have a link to read in more for a blog post on their own site or somebody else's, and hit topics that I like. So I think that's a great formula.
Yeah, it just takes time to develop it. I've kind of tinkered with it a little bit over the last while, and you know, that's how you find out, is actually ask your list what they want to.
Yeah, absolutely. So favorite newsletter that's not mine or yours?
WordPress Weekly by Devinder Singhan.
That's my favorite as well. I think he does a really good job of hitting the highlights in a nice, concise manner. And on a dime, it comes out exactly at the same time every week. He does a really great job.
Yeah, he's a little different. I find where, again, I struggle with is mine comes out on Monday, but is it noon or is it 2 o'clock? And that's a bit of an issue, but one I'm working on, so that kind of helps. But I'm also not a big fan, truly, of putting up my newsletter first thing in the morning, because so does everybody else. And we always read all these stats that say, optimally, a newsletter should go out at 5 or 5:30 a.m. Well, my response to that is no, because then I get lost in the shuffle. And marketing is all about disruption and doing something different. And if you do the same things that your competitors do, what's the point? And anybody who doesn't believe me, I direct them to a book by Robert Blum that I tout called The Inside Advantage, and say, go read that book and then come back to me.
I've done a lot of testing with a lot of newsletters that I've managed for myself and for clients. And you really have to find that time that works. And it's not an exact science, but you can tell when you have a higher open rate. And you see that percentage, you know, grow consistently when you send it that slot. That's ironically how I found that Mondays at noon Central Time gave me the highest open rate. A lot of my clients are in Central Time, and you know, I started noticing, you know, like you said, the first thing in the morning inbox email. Well, everybody's doing that. And so I scroll by those. The next slot is 9 a.m. now. So I'm starting to see emails pile up at 9 a.m. because that's you know, a regular workday start when people are opening their work emails. But that noontime email is what I found that got me my highest open rate and highest engagement rate from links and any offers that I put in. But it took some time and testing on what day, what time, and that's with all marketing. It's all about testing and finding out what your customers really like.
Yeah, I think so. And it's about, I hate to say it, it's about disruption. Marketing's 100% about disruption. And if what they're doing is checking all their email at 9 o'clock and that's their cycle, you're really not disrupting that cycle, so to speak. And most people don't get that.
Yeah, I found people that were casually reading their email over the news hour or over the noon hour did well for me. I work with a lot of smaller nonprofits and entrepreneurs that may not be running their business as their, you know, full-time job yet. And they're looking for advice and tips, you know, maybe on their break times. And that slot worked well for me. Even for my corporate clients, they read more of my emails at noon than they do at 9 a.m. or, you know, 5 p.m.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons in my newsletter, and I know you read it, I include tips like for mental health for business owners. I include tips for productivity for business owners or links, because I think that's just as important as what we do every day. And I'm so a mindset type of guy that I actually think that's really important for a small business owner.
Yeah. And I think our newsletters are geared towards our customers and, you know, the stuff that they come and ask me questions about gives me content ideas to put in the newsletter, because if one customer is having an issue, yeah. And like you said, it may not be a technical issue. It might be, how to manage your time so you can be a little more stress-free during the day, or how to organize your business, you know, with your local secretary of state and how you file that. It's all about, you know, reading your audience and giving back to them help.
It's so true. Do you have any other or tips or what your number one tip is for somebody starting a newsletter?
Number one, make sure your clients are actually opted in and want to receive content from you, and then give them stuff that they want to read about on a consistent basis. If you follow those two things, everything else gets easier.
So true, Ryan. Thanks for joining me. We're going to keep this monthly series going. So, you know, if you're looking for the stuff that Ryan and I do together, it comes out the first Friday of every month. So thanks for listening. And Ryan, thank you. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how's the best way?
Best ways are at OneDog Solutions on any of the major social media platforms. OneDog.Solutions is my website and also where you can sign up for my newsletter. Or Ryan.Waterbury at OneDog.Solutions. Email me if you want to have a chat and learn more about what we're talking about.
Thanks, Ryan. Have a great day.
Thank you.
This episode of the SDM Show is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency to handle all your WordPress website security needs. Go on over to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and find out how we can help you secure your website so you no longer have an issue with backups being hacked or your website being compromised. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com.
A very special thank you to Ryan for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show to talk more email marketing in our monthly segment. This segment typically airs the first Friday of every month, so next month, join Ryan and I again as we talk about something to do with marketing or web design to help your business.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the SDM Show. The SDM Show is brought to you by Rob Cairns and Stunning Digital Marketing. For more information about Rob Cairns and Stunning Digital Marketing, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.info. From here, you can connect to us on social media, go to our website, and even go to the podcast to subscribe. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars. Make your business succeed.